Okay. This is a picture of my family. These are my siblings and spouses and parents. So my oldest sister is the one on the pillar, right next to the pillar, and she's got her hand around the little boy. So she's my older sister. She's 18 months older than I am. I'm actually flying out early tomorrow morning to go spend the next couple of days with her. She bought tickets for us to go to a concert of her favorite country music singer. So I am going to go be with her, and then I'm meeting Mom and all my sisters for brunch together on Monday, and then flying back home to Colorado on Monday night. So, but that's Erin. She's married to Adam in the background, and they have three little boys. The little boy, she's got her hand around. His name is Jake. And he just so happened to be born on my birthday when I happened to be coming back through from the Iowa State Fair to Colorado. She was like 3 weeks early, and she happened to have him on my birthday. So then I'm next. I'm on the other side of the pillar with Rich in the back and then our kids in front of me. My brother Isaac is the one in the sort of green and yellow shirt. He's very tattooed. He goes to school full-time in Omaha, and he works out. Hannah is next. She's the one up against the wall. She's married to Shane, and they have four boys in front of them. Shane is one of the pastors at the church in Lincoln. And then my brother Jacob is on the far wall. He's the tallest one there with the beard. He's married to Becca. They have three little kids, and she's due in July, like the 4th of July, with their fourth baby, a little boy. Jake is one of the worship leaders for the church in Omaha. And then we go back over to the sister sitting down by Isaac. That's Lydia. She's married to Alan, who's in the back. They have two little kids, and she's pregnant with their third and is due also around the 4th of July. They're like 2 days apart, which has been really cute that they're so close together. And then the baby of the family, Naomi, is standing right next to Mom. She told me I needed to tell you all that she's my favorite sister. So, Naomi, if you listen to this, you are, in fact, my favorite Naomi Whitney. And then in the middle is Mom and Dad. We're on their front porch in Omaha. Mom and Dad are the ones who said yes to Jesus quite a few years ago when Erin and I were little, and they changed our family tree, and I am forever thankful and forever grateful that Mom and Dad said yes and that he put me in my family of origin that's right there. So I thought it would be appropriate to show this picture just as a little bit of a context before we jump into your wonder and why are you the way you are. Obviously a huge part of why or who we are is comes from being in the family that we grew up in. I am very blessed and incredibly thankful that the Lord put me in the family that I was put in. However, when I was younger, when I was 8, 9, 10, I distinctly remember this moment where we had been with some friends. I was like 8 or 9 years old. And we had gone to a friend's house, and there was multiple families there, and all the moms were doing whatever moms do, which is probably talking, and I was playing with all my friends, and we were hanging out. And I went home, and I laid in bed, and I sort of replayed that whole morning in my head. And as an 8, 9, 10-year-old, I was like, you know, if I was funny, I would have done this in this conversation. And if I was witty, I would have responded this way. And if I was social, I would have said this, and someone would have been like, what do you mean by that? You know? And I like replayed this whole conversation in my head, and I did that for years and years and years and years. I was incredibly shy growing up. I was very insecure. I was very, very quiet. I very rarely spoke I talked a lot in our family because, you know, it's your family and you kind of feel like, okay, the parameters, I kind of get it. I was the second oldest, so it felt very comfortable and secure. Every other situation in my entire life was the opposite of that. I remember so many times looking at a friend and wishing that I was as pretty as her or as funny as her or just as confident as her and desperately wishing that I could be like her, and I never was. And so I would do that over and over and over again. I would go home and I'd replay it, and I'd think, this is who I would be if I was a different person. So the lessons that the Lord has taught me about my wonder and about being confident and secure and the woman that he has made me to be all stem from that very shy, insecure, not confident girl as a starting point. And the Lord has taught me a lot of things over the course of my life, and I'm excited to share those with you this morning. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, we come before you again this morning. We thank you for just a full morning. We thank you, God, that you want to communicate something here this morning to all of us, just about being women who are confident and secure in who you've made us to be. And God, we look forward to hearing just what you have for us this morning. In your name I pray, amen. So I remember going to a women's conference it was quite a few years ago. I know I had Rory and Graham, but I think I had Justice at that point. So when I brought Justice home from the hospital, Rory was not quite 3.5. So I had a 3.5-year-old, a 2-year-old, and an infant. And my life was fairly consumed with babies and toddlers for a big chunk of time. And I remember going to this women's conference, and it was up in Estes Park. I don't remember who was speaking. I don't remember even what the theme of the conference was. I felt very scattered. I was excited to get away from the kids and get a little break and be with my friends and, you know, hear from the Lord. And yet it was a little bit like, oh my gosh, this took a lot of work to get out the door. And I kind of just felt like, okay, should I have just stayed home? Whatever. And I remember it was a Saturday, the Saturday morning. They always do Friday night to Saturday, it seems like. And a woman, I don't know who, shared this verse, Psalm 16:6. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places, and surely I have a delightful inheritance. And she shared that verse, and she made a point, and I'm sure it was really good, and I don't remember what it was, but I remember being very, very struck by this verse and thinking, wait, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places, surely I have a delightful inheritance. And I very clearly remember thinking, I don't feel like I have pleasant boundary lines. This my life right now doesn't feel like super pleasant. It feels like what I'm supposed to be doing. It feels like, you know, this is just what you do, right? You get married, and then if you love Jesus, you're supposed to start having children, and then the closer you have them together, the more godly you are. I'm not quite sure how that worked out, but I was very I wouldn't call my boundary lines pleasant places. And the NLT says, the land you have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. And the Lord used that verse that Saturday and started to kind of connect this with me and more like, the boundary lines that you're living within, the pleasant land that you are living, is actually a land that has been designed by me for you. It's not just a land that has happened to you. You're not just happening to have moved from Fort Collins down to Denver and are living in 700 square feet with 3 children, one of which lived in our closet. This is not this arbitrary thing that has just happened to you. This is a land that I've designed for you, this boundary lines that I've given you. Do you get that? Or do you just think that this is sort of what is just happening? This is just what's happening to you. And it's just this, not arbitrary, but it's just sort of this next thing that's happening in your phase of life. And that's your first point, is that realize that Jesus designed There you go. There's the NLT. The land you have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. Your first point, realize that Jesus designed my land. And he definitely started connecting with my heart that from that women's conference on, that are you getting that? Like, are you recognizing that the boundary lines that I've given you, this tiny apartment that you're living in, these little babies, as babies and toddlers, planting a church in Denver, getting new friendships and new relationships, and now being an hour and a half away from some of your old ones. Do you get that this is a boundary line and this is a pleasant land that I've given you? Psalm 139:16 says, every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. And I remember reading that verse and thinking, wait, really? Like, every moment of my life was laid out before a single day had passed, before I was even born. Every moment of my life was laid out. And just starting to connect with, okay, so the life that I'm living, the person that I am, the personality that I have, the way that I'm wired, all of this was designed by the Lord for a reason and for a purpose. And that was the beginning of me starting to connect with this. I remember right around that time, I went, I don't know why, I was trying to shop for clothes. And there is nothing worse than shopping for clothes when you are in between babies. You're either going up in weight or you're coming back down in weight. And it is discouraging and it is horrible and I would not recommend it. But for some reason, I had to go get clothes. Like it was for a specific reason. And so I went to the mall and I know that Justice was pretty new. And so I'd had 3 babies in 3.5 years, and I was at the mall, and I'm like trying to find cute clothes or just even clothes that fit or whatever, you know. And I would walk in store after store after store, and I could not find things that I liked or that I thought looked good on me. And I just remember, like, as the morning passed, just feeling more and more defeated and feeling more and more just discouraged with where I was at and the way that I looked at that time. And I felt very defeated because in my mind, so I'm like, okay, this is what has to happen, Morgan. You need to start working out. You gotta work out. You gotta lose that baby weight. You gotta get back in shape, you know. And then I'm like, when? Like, when? I don't even sleep at night because I have toddlers and babies, you know. And so then I'm like, oh, and where? Like, where would I go? We have one car, and how? Like, we don't have any money to pay for a gym membership, let alone babysitters. Rich isn't going to be like, yeah, sure, I'll watch all the babies so you can go work out, you know. So then I just instantly start, like, then none of this is ever going to change. Then I'm never going to lose the baby weight, and I'm never going to feel like I look cute in anything ever again. And I just felt so defeated and so discouraged with where I was at, because in my mind, the way that I would fix how I felt about myself was I had to change my circumstances. I had to start working out. I had to lose baby weight, and I would change my circumstances, and then I would feel better with how I looked and the way that I looked. There's a verse in Philippians that says, Philippians 4:11, actually, I don't have a sense of needing anything personally. I've learned by now to be quite content, whatever my circumstances. I'm just as happy with little as with much as with little. I found the recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry, hands full or hands empty. Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. Your second point is learn to be content. If you have connected, there is in the things that I shared on Friday night, the things that I've shared this morning, in now, I love that the Lord gives us a hope and a freedom that if we're working through something that's hard, that we don't have to just let that hard happen to us, that he always provides an opportunity for us to change it, that we engage with him, that we learn from him whatever it is that he's wanting to teach us in that thing, and we get to change whatever hard thing that is in our lives. And for me, it was I needed to learn to be content in my circumstances and not be thinking that if I could just change my circumstances, then suddenly I would be happy and I would be joyful and I would feel good about myself. That had nothing to do with my circumstances, but that it had everything to do with the one who made me who I am. That line, whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. And the only way that you can find out who made you who you are is by sitting at his feet, is by having your quiet times, is by connecting with the Lord and saying, God, who have you made me to be? There is so many voices in our world today, and I have a love-hate relationship with it. I love to read books. I love to listen to podcasts. I'm on Instagram and Facebook. But there is a tremendous amount of voices in our world today that are communicating to us who we are as women. And they're speaking it very loudly, and they're speaking it articulately, and they're speaking it clearly. However, they are not speaking it with the foundation of their words being the word of God. And if that's where we're getting our truth from, and that's where we're getting our identity from, and that's where we're saying, okay, this is who I'm supposed to be, this is how I'm supposed to be, and is not built on the word of God, then it will run out. And you will go back to feeling like after you read that book and you're like, oh, that was so encouraging. That was so good. I'm going to do this. And then because it's not real and it's not the truth of God and it's not the word of God, then you run out of your own strength to make it happen. And then you feel even worse than you did before. And we as women of God, the only thing we need is the word of God. And I think that we are all, you are all around women who love the Lord and are seeking him and are desperately desiring a relationship with him. But we need to be very, very careful in what we're allowing to come into our lives that is acting like truth and is a very, very shallow truth that is not based on the word of God. And that was one of the biggest things that the Lord started to teach me, is you need to learn contentment in your circumstances by going to me and learning your truth from me and learning who the Lord has made you to be and not anyone else and not anything else. All you need is to hear it from me, Morg. I made you. I designed you to be who you are. I was sitting in this chair. It was when Erin got married, my older sister, 18 months older than me. So she's getting married. I got married before she did. And Rory was 6 months old. When she got married, I have to share this very brief story. I was only allowed to have 5 bridesmaids because Dad and Mom thought 7 were excessive. I wanted 7. Dad and Mom thought 7 were excessive. So I got to have 5, and I was the very dutiful daughter, so I had 5 bridesmaids. Erin got married when Rory was 6 months old, so that was like a couple years after me. Guess how many she had? 10. 10. 10 bridesmaids, double the amount of bridesmaids that I had. But whatever, we don't need to talk about that. So I'm sitting in this chair. I am getting my nails done. So since she had 10 bridesmaids and her, you know, no salon can accommodate 11 girls at one time. So we had to go in shifts. And so I took the first shift. I was like, team A, you know, because I like wake up early and Erin does not. And so I was like, okay, I'll take the first shift. We'll go get our nails done. And they kind of overlapped a little bit. And so I'm sitting there, and I was probably getting my toes done because I remember sitting in, like, the pedicure chair. So I'm getting my toes done, and there's girls in the wedding party on either side of me, and we're, you know, just chatting and talking and having fun. In walks Erin and this other bridesmaid. And they, like, walk in. I distinctly remember this. They, like, walk in from the doorway over here, and it's like a movie. Right? Like their hair is blowing, you know, they're like laughing and talking and they're drinking Starbucks, you know. I don't actually know if they were, but in my mind, that's how I remember this memory is that, but they did legitimately walk in like that. And in my mind, you know, they're like these two very glamorous women. Erin is getting married the next day, so she had done, you know, hand herself and I don't know what all else. But the other girl that she was with had just gotten married like a week before and had gone to Mexico for the week and had flown in from Mexico. And so she's like beautiful and tan and gorgeous. And instantly I'm like, oh. You know, like I'm like, okay, my daughter is 6 months old and I just like barely got myself here. And I instantly went from having such a fun time and connecting with the girls on either side of me and enjoying like getting your nails done to just like, and I remember that feeling of just deflating. And they like walk past me and they go sit over here and they're sitting and talking to the nail techs or whatever. And this girl, not Erin, the girl is super funny. And everybody's kind of looking at her because she was a little loud too. But I mean, if you're funny, it's a little bit better. And so everyone's paying attention to them. And I literally was like, I'm like dull Betty in the room. Like I'm nothing. I am no one. And I just deflated. My whole spirit deflated. And I did this verse. I lived this verse out in that moment. 2 Corinthians 10:12. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. I did not know the verse at the time. I had not known this verse at the time. I did know that I had been having a wonderfully fun time. Then I compared myself to her, and I instantly deflated and was no longer having a fun time and felt like I was dull Betty in the room. That scenario, where I would compare myself to another woman, had been happening in my life for years. And it continued to happen in my life for multiple years after that. And it was a very... not fun feeling. It is very discouraging as a woman to compare yourself to someone else and feel like you are lacking. And then a few years after Erin's wedding, I had a friend of mine share this verse with me. We were sitting down and we were talking, and I was sharing with her that I just felt really, I mean, I was, we'd been married multiple years, and I had Rory and Graham by the time I shared that I was struggling with this. I was like, I just feel really insecure as a woman. I just feel like I'm not confident in who I am, and I feel really insecure, and I often feel like I'm less than the people in the room around me. And she shared this verse with me. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves. The first time I read this verse, I was sort of almost sickened by the amount of times it says ourselves and themselves in this verse. Like, how sort of self-centered and self-focused is this verse when we're comparing ourselves? And your point is, do not dare. The Lord used this verse in a very profound way in my life to communicate to me to not dare to compare myself with the women around me, that I do not dare to compare myself with some who commend themselves, and I don't measure myself by some, I don't measure myself by themselves, and I don't compare themselves with themselves, or more, you're not wise. And the Lord started to connect with me what that means. What does that look like in your life? One of the things that I have learned, and that I know any woman in this room who has ever done this, you can connect with this 100%, is if you compare yourself with someone else, you instantly feel less than, and you instantly feel bad about yourself or less about yourself than you did before you did. And every single one of us have had that experience where you're like at small group and someone comes in and whatever it is, you look at that person and you look at that woman and you think, gosh, I wish I could be like that. And you are comparing yourself with another woman, and you feel less than. And you feel defeated, and you feel deflated. And I think one of the things that the Lord has taught me in this whole thing about comparing ourselves with other women is that when I am spending time looking at the women around me and I'm not looking at the one who made me who I am, then I'm never going to feel secure in who God made me to be. If we're spending all our time looking at who we're not, then we're not spending any time looking at who we are. God doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make mistakes. He designed you to be perfectly who you are. He did every part of it. He did every part of it for me, my personality, the strengths that he's given me, the wiring that he's given me, the each part of me, the way that each one of us look, the things that we value, the things that we light up about. God has taken the time to design each one of us women in all of those things, and he doesn't make mistakes. The mistake comes when we cannot get out of our own head and say, wait a second. If God designed me to be the way that I am, then I need to figure out, okay, Lord, who have you made me to be, and why have you made me to be the way I am? You each fill a unique role that no one else on this entire earth and on this planet can fill. But if we're spending all our time thinking, but I'm not them, then you're not doing what God has called you to do. We know that in our world, a very prevalent thing is women that compare themselves with those who commend themselves, and we always come up lacking because you are spending your time instead of figuring out, God, who do you want me to be? Then you're spending all your time saying, I'm not that person. No, you're not. Jesus designed a different land for that person, and that woman should be living out her land. Jesus designed a land for you. Jesus designed a land for me. I don't want to be spending my time. I don't want to be spending my heart. I don't want to be spending my brain cells looking at this other woman and thinking, gosh, if I could just be like this. God did not make that her. God did not make you like that. God made you like you. There is only one you. And I hate that phrase. Well, I have a love-hate relationship with it, that you do you. You know, our secular world has used it very significantly. You do you. You do you. And I hate it in the secular sense of it because it gives a tremendous amount of room to flesh and sin. I love it in the context of Christian women, that you do you. God has designed you to be you. He doesn't make any mistakes. You do you. You do the woman that God has made you to be. He's made you to be that woman for a reason. And if you're sitting before him and you're having a quiet time and you're connecting with him and you are getting your identity from him and you're getting your worth from him and you're getting a confidence from him and you're getting your security from him, then it changes who you are as a woman. And it changes your friendships, and it changes your relationships, because you allow then the space for everyone around you to be exactly who they are and exactly who the Lord has designed them to be. There's no competition. They can live a life before the Lord that's different from yours, and you don't feel threatened by it, and you don't feel threatened by the personalities that are larger than yours. You embrace it, and you enjoy it, because you recognize that God is a different place in this story and in your small group and in this church than that. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing when we as women can say, Lord, I believe that you designed me to be the way that I am for a reason and for a purpose, and you don't make mistakes, and I believe that you don't make mistakes. Help me to embrace who you've made me to be. Help me to be confident in the woman that you've made me to be. And then it allows you to be real and to be known with your women. If you are always presenting a side that is perfect or has very little mistakes, you will only be known to that degree because you are only letting a certain part of yourself be known. If you say, this is who I am, and I'm not talking about flesh, I'm not talking about sin. If you say, this is who I am, and this is who the Lord designed me to be, and you are that woman in its wholeness and its entirety, and you feel a peacefulness in your own heart, this is who God made me to be, then it frees you up to be fully known with the women around you because you have presented who you are to them, and they see it and they embrace it and they accept it, and you do the same for them. And in our own life, in our church, one of the biggest things that we can engage with as Christian women is if the Lord has called me to something, whether it's working inside the home or outside the home or homeschooling or not homeschooling or whatever it is, there's issues that tend to come up a lot as Christian women. And a lot of times I think we land in this place that, well, this is what the Lord has led me to be, and this is what the Lord has led our family to live out, and this is what the Lord has led us to engage with. And if you live out something different, then you're wrong. And so then there can be this almost judgmental heart and spirit towards anyone who is not living out the life that you feel like the Lord has called you to live. And I'm not talking about biblical issues. I'm not talking about the word of God. There's very clear directives from the Lord on very clear things. I'm talking about things that are not sin and not black and white, that the Lord can lead us all differently as women. But when we say, okay, but this is who the Lord has made me to be, and you get to be the way that the Lord has led you to be, there's no judgment that you feel in your own heart towards that person or that person feels with you. And in my own, our church, there, when we started the church, there was like maybe 30 of us total, including children, which was like over half. So there was like six-ish women that started the church, which can have massive pros and massive cons because it's so easy. And that, and this is what happens often on small groups too, right? There's five or six women on a small group and you think, okay, so this is what I'm doing. This is what we all should be doing. And yet that's not how God leads. He called 12 disciples and they all had very different jobs and they all lived out their faith very differently. And the Lord led each one of them into very different things. And so it can be really easy to compare and to compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. And I think it's been really cool for me to even just connect with the Lord on who he's made me to be and recognize that Jesus designed my land and I need to be faithful with mine. And all I can do is be faithful with the Lord has led me to do, and that the Lord has given other people their land and he's given them their own boundary lines. And that's a good thing. And I can come alongside them and I support them. We do not need to spend any of our time as women. We do not dare as Christian women to spend any of our time comparing ourselves with the women around us, with our sisters around us. We rejoice in the way that God has wired them, and we rejoice in their personalities, and we rejoice in who God has made them to be, and we spend our time living out the land that God has designed for us to do. And in that comes contentment, and in that comes joy, and in that comes settled in our heart and settled in our peace to be the woman that God has designed us to be. And that is all I have. I ended a little early too, so...